guys can be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. We have been going through a series this Christmas season around Emmanuel, God with us. And we started the first week talking about how God was with us in the form of Jesus, who came down and was born a child in a manger, and how he continued to live his life with us, pouring into a few people, especially his disciples, his closest disciples, and how God was actually with us in the flesh, and that Jesus was both fully man and fully God. God with us. And then the second week, we talked about how amazing it is that Jesus, when he left, that he didn't leave us with nothing, that he actually sent his Holy Spirit to live within us. Those that follow Jesus, we actually get the Holy Spirit, God's very Spirit, his very presence living in us. How incredible is that for God with us? And then last week, we talked about how God is with us in community as we gather together as believers. For that is truly what the church is. The church isn't this building or this service that you come to. You know, sometimes we talk like that, where I'm going to church. Church is not something you go to. Church is something you are. You're a part of. You belong to a group of people who follow Jesus. And so as we follow Jesus together, God is with us. But sometimes the temptation is, as we enjoy God with us in community, is that we like to get a little too comfortable. Right? I mean, who doesn't love being part of a good community, people supporting you? You know, it's a nice thing. And I think there's something about Canadian culture that we especially love to be comfortable. Maybe it's our cold winters. I don't know what it is. But we especially seem to love ourselves some comfort. But the thing is God is not just with us for us alone. God is with us for the purpose of others. And that God is actually with us on mission. And I actually believe that it's actually impossible to follow Jesus if we stay here. Because Jesus talks about, in the passage, that one of the passages we're going to look at this morning, he talks about how he is sent. He is on mission. And he talks about how those that follow him, he is sending them. And so, if Jesus is sent, and he wants to send us, and we're to follow him, then if Jesus is over here on mission, and we're still sitting here in our comfort, we're no longer following. And so, this morning, if you leave with nothing else, in all the other things I'm going to say this morning, I hope that you'll leave with the sense that it's time to get up and follow. It's time to join Jesus on mission. Because we can't truly follow him to the full extent that we're called to follow him if we're not living on mission with him. But the amazing thing about it is that we're not left to live on mission alone. As you're going to see, every single gospel that is written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the gospels have this element at the end of it where God is sending us out on mission. Jesus is encouraging us to go out on mission. But in every single case, he says, I'm with you. And don't you notice that often the people that you grow the closest to, even in the church setting, are people that you share a common purpose and mission, and you're doing things together. Like when I think of, about my own life, some of my closest friendships throughout the years were often like people that I was on sports teams for example. Why? Because we have the same purpose. We're working together for the purposes of trying to accomplish a goal of winning a championship. Or people I've worked with where we have a common goal of trying to achieve whatever it is, the business, or now, in this case, the church is trying to accomplish. And so as you work together, there's something about this closeness that happens because you have to depend on one another to achieve the purposes that you're trying to achieve. And I think the same is true with joining Jesus on mission. We have to depend on Jesus to actually achieve the mission he has for us. Because God calls us to things that go beyond what we can achieve in our own strength, in our own power. He calls us beyond things that we are going to be comfortable with. And because of that, we have to then depend on him. And as we depend on him, we actually grow closer to him. And we get to experience God with us on mission. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at four short passages. And I want us to see that in all of them, we'll begin to see what exactly is this mission that God has called us to. But also, the reassuring thing that you'll see in all of them is that God is with us in the mission. And in fact, he is the one that actually achieves the mission in and through us as we work together in partnership with him. And so the results aren't dependent on us. In fact, I've become more and more convinced that success in God's eyes doesn't actually depend on results. Like, oh, you know, we had a whole bunch of people that said yes to following Jesus, or oh, we were able to accomplish the goal of the mission we set out. Like we really wanted to start a new ministry to homeless people, and we achieved that. What it really is about is not whether we have success from a worldly perspective of look at all these numbers or these results. Success actually looks like obedience. And we never know what our small acts of obedience as we join Jesus on mission will accomplish. And so keep that in mind as we go through this this morning. We're going to start in John. We're going to go through four different ones, all in different Gospels. The first one, so we're going to jump around a bit, so be ready. Be nimble, either on your phone or with your Bible. Just be ready to flip. Okay, I'll give you a hint. They're all towards the end of each of the Gospels. So, you know, that'll help. So John 20, verses 21 to 23 says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." So a few things to note in this passage then. First of all, Jesus starts, and in fact, if we were to go back a few verses, Jesus actually says, "Peace be with you," twice. And this peace isn't just like there's no conflict. Like some of us, like we really love it when there's no conflict, and we would prefer that there's never any conflict. This is not the peace that it's referring to, although that's a part of it. This kind of peace is about overall holistic human flourishing physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, the whole bit. It's like this flourishing where the community, so it'd be like if Prince George was flourishing as a city and things were going well and people weren't living in poverty and all these kinds of things are what this shalom is. It's like this human flourishing. It's a picture of what will be one day. When there is no more pain and no more suffering, This is the peace that he's referring to. So that's important to remember. Now we see, again, a picture of mission, right? We are being sent, and we're going to talk about being sent to do what in a little bit. But the other thing that we see is that they receive the Holy Spirit. So as they're sent, they're also receiving the Holy Spirit. So God is with us in the form of the Holy Spirit as they're being sent on this mission. And it seems like this mission has something to do with forgiveness. Okay? So, Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So again, we see a picture of mission. We're to make disciples. So somehow this whole idea of making disciples and teaching them what it is to follow Jesus is a part of this mission. But again, we see in Matthew's gospel, again, God is with us as we go out and join him on mission. Mark, which we talked about in greater depth a few weeks ago in our previous series, Mark chapter 16, as we ended our series on Mark, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. So in this, there's this picture of we're speaking out, we're preaching, we're sharing with people this good news about what Jesus has done, what he's accomplished. But in that, there's this element where we're bringing about healing, spiritual healing, physical healing. There's this element that we are agents of healing as part of God's mission. Then we look at Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So again, there's this idea of we're being called into mission. Again, it has something to do with forgiveness. It has something to do with preaching a message of hope. It's this idea of being sent. But again, they're being told that they're going to be clothed on power from high. The Holy Spirit is going to come on them. And in case Luke wants to make sure we really get this, so he doesn't just say this in his gospel. He starts by saying it again in Acts. Right? Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Again, he'll be with us, but we have this mission to proclaim this good news, not just in your neighborhood, but the church has this mission to the whole earth. Pretty big mission. So I wanted us then, apparently my batteries on my clicker are dying. Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, they all point towards what the mission looks like and to the fact that we have the Holy Spirit with us to be with us on mission and help us to achieve the things that we are to do. And so if we look at Luke, Luke really talks about preaching. He talks about a message of forgiveness, that we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that we have power. We see this idea of shalom, this idea of being sent, this idea of, again, receiving the Holy Spirit and forgiveness in John. Matthew is about making disciples of all nations. And again, he talks about how he's with us and that how we have authority through him. Mark 16, again, preaching the good news is a peace, and that we have power through Jesus, he's with us, and that there will be healing. So let's look at this in a little bit greater measure. So first of all, God promises with us to be on mission. That's quite clear through all of the Gospels' presentations of the mission, that God is with us. So we can know that. And to me, this is good news because it takes the pressure off me, which I think is great because I feel quite inadequate often to do the mission that God is calling me into and to be a part of. And so if it was dependent on me, man, boy, we'd all be in real trouble. And you might feel the same about yourself. If it was all dependent on me to achieve the things God's calling me into, probably wouldn't work so well. But God promises to be with us, and so it's in his power that we are able to achieve the things that he has for us. The next thing we need to understand then is that we are sent as Jesus was sent, right? Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. Sending us to do what? To be messengers and witnesses of the kingdom. When you think about how Jesus was sent, what was he sent to do? Now, often when we talk about this, we think that Jesus was sent to die and to rise again and defeat death. And that's certainly a part of it. But when you look at how Jesus lived his life, what does he primarily focus on? He primarily focuses on this idea of God's kingdom. If you read through the gospel, you will see Jesus talking about the kingdom over and over and over. Like, it's pretty much all you can see when you see Jesus' teaching, is this idea of God's kingdom. This kingdom where God's will is fulfilled. So what does this look like then? Well, first of all, we are to be people that are witnesses in both word and deed of this kingdom. So we have this message that Jesus came and he did die and he did rise again, and we can be in right relationship with God again. And this is great news. And that we get to enter in with Jesus to be a part of seeing this shalom that we talked about, this human thriving. We get to be a part of joining him and seeing that happen more and more in our community and in our word, in our world. So this is the deed part, right? To be messengers of healing and mercy and justice and peace, just as Jesus was. Jesus went around healing people. He went around speaking up against injustices, which made the people in power, the religious leaders, unhappy, which is why they killed him in the first place. Right? So both word and deed are important. Both are a piece of the mission. We can't just preach the gospel. We have to live it. We can't just live the gospel. We have to share it. They're both a piece of this. This is also key. The kingdom of God is a kingdom founded on love. This is what the Pharisees, the religious leaders that had Jesus killed, missed. That the kingdom of God isn't a kingdom where God powerfully comes down and he fights and all their enemies and gets rid of them for him. That's what they thought the Messiah was going to be about. But instead, the Messiah comes down and he is founding a kingdom that's based on love. In fact, if we read what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says you can do all kinds of incredible things. But if you don't have love, it's just noise. It doesn't much matter. And so that's an important thing to remember as we think about mission, is that mission is motivated and founded in love. People aren't projects. People aren't things to accomplish, goals to achieve. It has to come from a place of love. I mean, Jesus said, all of the commandments, and there's a lot of them in the Bible, come down to two things, loving God and loving others. And so we join Jesus in mission when we choose, first of all, to engage in our relationship with him, but then secondly, to love others well. That's part of our mission, to love others well. Kingdom of God is a kingdom where God's will is lived out in greater and greater measure. We see that as we live out and we point to the shalom, which is part of the will of God, we point people to Jesus and we see his will lived out. But it's also important that we see in this passage, right? They're told to wait, right? Wait until you are clothed from power on high. So sometimes it's important to think about what does it mean to wait on God so that we actually live in the mission that he has called us into. There's this cycle of waiting on God and worshiping him and then being called out into mission and then back into waiting. And it's a daily, weekly, it's like a cycle of how we are to live. Right? They're told to go and wait in Jerusalem until God calls them into the mission. Now, I think most of us, when it comes to mission and following Jesus on mission and listening to the Holy Spirit, a lot of us, there's kind of three categories, and the middle one is kind of where you want to be. But some of us, we fall into category one, which is we tend to run ahead of the Holy Spirit. Right? This is where I fall into, in case you're wondering, right? I'm like, go, go, go. I'm like, I got all these great ideas, and I'm going for it. And the Holy Spirit's like, Ryan, I was going this way. I'm like, oh, shoot. Better go back and join them, right? So I have to make sure that I practice stillness, that I practice waiting on the Lord and listening prayer, because I can run off in all kinds of different directions that may or may not be where God has me. But, you know, he's always gracious and redirects me. Just as he did Paul. Like Paul talks in Acts lots of times about how he wanted to go and preach in this city and the Holy Spirit's like, no, you're not going there. You're going over here. And so God is patient and redirects those of us that tend to run ahead. But a lot of us, maybe more so than the ones that tend to run ahead, tend to lag behind what the Holy Spirit's calling us into because we're not really comfortable with what the Holy Spirit's asking of us. And it sounds a little bit beyond what we can do, and it you know, it just doesn't really seem like something I could do. And we believe the lies of the accuser that we're not good enough and that we don't measure up and we could never do that or it would cost us too much to do what the Holy Spirit's asking of us. And so we tend to lag behind what the Holy Spirit's asking of us. When really what we want to be is walking step in step with the Spirit, joining in mission together. So mission starts by waiting on God. One of the most awesome quotes I read was by Christopher Hertz on this, and he said, actually, I heard it on a podcast. He said, without stillness, we fail to see what proper engagement looks like. We just start doing our plans and ask God to bless them rather than join God in his plan. But here's the cool thing. The church, right, as they were waiting there in the upper room, they're not left to forever live in the upper room. You know, the upper room was safe, right? Because it was dangerous out there to follow Jesus. There were people looking for these guys. You know, they were rightfully afraid that they were going to end up the same as Jesus, dead. And so it would have been much easier and much more comfortable to stay in the upper room. But that's not meant to be where the church stays. The church was called out of that. In fact, honestly, if they had stayed there, none of us would be here right now. Right? If they had stayed in the upper room and been like, you know, let's just self-preservation, guys. Let's just play it safe. They never would have gone and spread the news to the whole earth, and not one of us would be here following Jesus. It would have died with them. And so, but they didn't. Why? Because when they got the Holy Spirit in them, they just started going for it. Without the Holy Spirit, I actually believe without the Holy Spirit, they probably would have stayed in that room. Right? And I think often for myself, if it's not for the Holy Spirit, some of the things he calls me to, I'm like, that's far beyond me. And I might stay there. And you might stay there. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get up and we can follow Jesus into mission. And so I encourage us, in both individually and as a church, let's leave the upper room and follow Jesus into what he's calling us to. And as we do, we will see that he is with us and we will come alive. Like right now, I'm getting, my phone just is blowing up with all these messages from Louise Sinclair Peters from Thailand. She's telling me, or Myanmar, sorry. She's telling me all these stories about how they're doing all these Christmas outreaches and all these people are coming to follow Jesus. And I'm just like, wow. And I'm like, that's amazing. And then I just think like, God, what do you want to do here? What are you doing here? What are you calling us into as a church? They're going for it. They're not just staying in the upper room. What is God calling us to in that? Because I believe we are sent on the greatest mission in history. But with us is the greatest presence in history. And so we don't need to shrink back. We don't need to be afraid. Yes, what God might call us to might be scary. Yes, it might be beyond our comfort. But the greatest presence in history is with us to achieve the things he's calling us to. He doesn't leave us on our own. So we come in the power of the Spirit as God's agents of healing who proclaim the greatest message of hope. And the world needs this message to be both preached and to be lived out. The worship team's going to come, and as they do, I just want to pray for us that we would just be really filled with the Spirit and that he would lay on each of our hearts the things that he's calling us into, and he would lay on our hearts corporately what he's calling us into as a church, that we might join him in the mission that he has for us. So as I pray, I just want you also just to be not just listening to my voice, but listening to see if you hear the Holy Spirit calling you into something. So just have that spirit of attentiveness and listening, both as I pray and then as we worship together. Have a spirit of attentiveness and listening to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you are with us and that you have a purpose for us and that we get to live out that purpose. And thank you for that, Jesus. And I just pray for each one here, God, that you would show them what are the things that you are calling them into as individuals, as families, maybe as life groups? What are the things that you're calling them into? But would you also show us, God, a greater vision for what are you showing us and what are you calling us into as a church, God? And God, would you just give us boldness through the power of your Holy Spirit to walk into the things that you are calling us into. And as we do that, may we experience you in greater measure as we depend on you. And may that just cause us to worship you all the more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.